Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
Good evening, men. How are you guys doing tonight? It's good to see everyone here. Brother Todd's going to share with us later. Yeah. Brother Vic's going to lead us in worship. Yeah. It's a good night. I want to welcome you here. I want to welcome those of you who are online watching us. We're glad that you're checking in on us, but we'd love to have you here in person if you can. Love to see all you guys. Love you guys. Good to be here on Thursday night. Let's open up in some prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here tonight, Lord. And we just pray you'd have your way tonight, Lord. Through the worship and through the word, Father God, that you'd be glorified in all things that we'd say and do tonight, Father God. We pray that you'd prepare our hearts, Lord, that we would receive, Father, that we would meditate on what we hear, Father, that we would seek to commune with you tonight, Father God, to connect and to really hear what you have to say for each and every one of us individually, Father. That's why we come, Father. We need each other. We need you. So we pray ministry would take place at each table here tonight. And we lift up these requests. Brother Mike Rains, he wants to lift up an acquaintance of his, Mark, whose relatively young son in his 20s just died suddenly in his sleep. No understood reason at this point, Father God, but a tragedy nonetheless. And we don't know if any of this family knows you, Father God, but we do pray for Mark and the family, Father, that they be comforted, Lord. We pray the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and any believing friends or relatives would share with the love of Jesus, the love that surpasses all understanding. And right now, I'm sure there's no understanding of this tragedy, but they need the love and they need comfort still the same, Father God. So I just pray that you'd give them that supernatural peace at this time, Father God. And use our brother Mike, Lord, and any others, Lord, who know you in this healing in this family. We're going to lift up the junior high and high school kids that are in camp this weekend, Father, and we just pray that they will have a joyful time, Father. We just pray for the connections made between the kids, Father, and the times of worship and sharing, Father, the teaching, Lord. We just pray your Holy Spirit would reign up there on the mountain, Lord, that the kids would have fun, but most importantly, Lord, they would have an encounter with you, especially those who might not know you or might not have been walking with you in recent years, Father God. We just pray that they would just have an encounter with you this weekend, Father, that they would just reconnect with you, Father, and just you would show your love and your desire for them, Father, in a strong way, Father, and that they would make a commitment to serve you and to follow you, Lord. So I just pray that you just give guidance to the counselors there and, you know, the leaders and the staff, Father, and I just pray that the kids have a meaningful weekend, Father. Brother Daniel would like to lift up the issue for the unborn, Father, and pray for overturning of Roe versus Wade, Father God. We just pray that you would intervene in this travesty, Father. We pray that you would just change the hearts of man, Father, that even puts us in this situation in the first place, Father, that you would just change our hearts, Father. And we pray for your church to rise up, Father God, and to follow you in such a way, Father, that they desire to make changes in the laws and make a stand for the things that you make a stand for, Father God. So we just pray that you would mobilize your people, Father, for the things that burdens your heart. Our brother Mike, his mom is having surgery tomorrow, and he's having a biopsy on a tumor and some other things, and he'd just like to pray for peace for her, Father, for wisdom for the doctors and guidance for the family, Lord. We just pray that his mom will feel your presence, Lord, and we just pray that whatever is going on there physically, Father, would just be healed, Father, that whatever the doctor's looking for, they would not even find it, Father. We just pray for complete healing, for peace and comfort, Lord, and and no pain in whatever the surgery they're going to be doing tomorrow, Father God. So I just pray that for our brother Mike, Lord, that you give him that peace, Father, and that he would have comforting words for his mom. And again, Lord, we just want you to have your way tonight, Father. We pray you'll be blessed. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One more prayer request of Brother Renee. He put this request out there. Yeah, Lord, we just lift up Cheryl Matsunaga and her husband, Brad. Cheryl's been dealing with this knee replacement for literally years, Father, and it's been re-replaced twice. And we just suffer with our sister, Lord, as she goes through this, Lord. We just pray that the infection would be completely healed, Father, that your hand would be upon her. We thank you, Lord, for just keeping her close to you throughout this, Father. She hasn't wavered in her faith through all this, Lord, but I know that she struggled in pain and in inconvenience, Father. So I just pray for a miracle and for complete healing for our sister Cheryl, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
What's up, brothers? How are we doing? Man, I'm fired up tonight, because you know why? Because I know God has got a word for you guys. I know it. And you know how I know it? Because when I got here tonight, I started talking with a couple brothers and talking to these guys, talking to Brother Mark and Brother Rob. I could hear two guys that were going through some things right now that were kind of on different sides of different issues, but at the same time, there were guys that were needing God's wisdom. And that literally came out of their mouths, right? And so I said, man, this is perfect. This is going to be good tonight. So I know he's got something for them, and I hope he's got something for you guys. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to try to get out of the way. I think it's a good idea. And so I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture. I'm going to let God's word do most of the talking tonight. And I got some commentary to go with it, but some insights that he's showing me. But I'm going to let him do most of the talking, as is fitting, because that's where true wisdom comes from, right? From the Lord, and that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about God's wisdom. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 8. If you guys want to get ready there, and then I'll give you a few other spots that we can mark along the way. If you want to follow along, let's see if I can find them here. So I'll be in 1 Corinthians tonight, chapter 2. If you want to go there as well as Proverbs 8. And let's see here, 1 Kings 3 will be another destination tonight. And there'll be a couple others, but those would be the two biggies, I would say. So if you want to mark those, please do so. All right, so I'm going to start by reading the passage that we're focusing on tonight. Again, Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I've been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Whew, I love that. In this chapter of Proverbs, Solomon, our author, our original author here, right, he gives us a poetic depiction or a personification of wisdom. Personification being a figure intended to represent an abstract quality, that quality in this case, God's wisdom. That's what we're talking about. Solomon is not introducing us to the fourth divine entity, okay? That's not what's going on, right? But rather, he's personifying in a poetic way wisdom, which is a key attribute of our divine God. Many groups have gotten this wrong throughout time. Jehovah's Witnesses and maybe even the feminist movement. I can think of a couple more. So it's important to get that straight. So then my question is, why then would Solomon choose to use the feminine to personify wisdom? Well, here's a couple reasons I came across. And number one, linguistically, the Hebrew language, like many other languages, including Spanish and Italian, uses masculine and feminine gender components with many words, right? Wisdom in Hebrew, or chokmah, as Marty's so well informed us of and taught us, it has that feminine gender component to it. And it's not a sexual thing, right? It's just like Spanish has the word masculine, that carries a feminine tone to it as well. And clearly, that's not describing femininity, right? So it would be natural for Solomon to use the feminine in the personification, grammatically speaking. Secondly, Solomon may have also done this from a contrasting point of view. He uses the female personification to contrast between wise and foolish decisions throughout Proverbs, both before and after this chapter. One such example, the chapter before in verse 24, it says, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to crust of bread, and adulteress will prey upon his precious life. And then the chapter after, he says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten is secret is pleasant, but he doesn't know the dead are there, that their guests are the depths of hell. So contrast, right? Last night we had a party for my mom. She turned 70. And This is leading to the third possible reason. But we had a party for my mom last night. She turned 70. It was great. We had 80-something people come and show up from all over the country, South Dakota, Wisconsin, so on. A lot of people really think my mom's special, and I do especially, right? Perhaps that's another reason wisdom is depicted as a woman, because of this traditional role of mother, teacher, right? Spouse. I read the story today about Thomas Edison. I'm going to read this to you, but this is a great, great example of mothers. One day as a small child, Thomas Edison came home from school and he gave a paper to his mother. He said to her, "Mom, my teacher gave this paper to me and told me only you have to read it." "Well, what does it say, Mom?" And he asked, and her eyes went into tears as she read the letter out loud to her child. It says, "Your son is a genius. The school is too small for him and does not have good enough teachers to train him. Please teach him yourself." And his mother did just that until she fell ill and passed away. And many years after Edison's mother had died, he became one of the greatest inventors of the century. One day, he went through some of her things and he found the folded letter that his old teacher wrote to his mother, and he opened it. And the message written on the letter was, "Your son is mentally deficient. We cannot let him attend our school anymore. He is expelled." Edison became emotional reading it and then wrote in his diary this: "Thomas A. Edison was a mentally deficient child whose mother turned him into the genius of the century." Power of moms, power of God's wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 1 again. "Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart." I get the visual of the mother here in this one, right? She's on that upstairs balcony, and she's looking out into the street at her boys that are barefoot and no helmets on and trying to jump their bikes off of anything they can find, that splintered old piece of wood. Yeah, this happened last week. And everybody on the block in here, not just the boys, right? She's vocal. She's in that high place. And she could care less if those boys are able to do the wheelie, but she wants them to be unharmed in their attempts. Wisdom in this case, though, is not just for her kids. It's for all the kids in the block, right? God's wisdom speaks to everyone. And I see this in this passage. Not all heed it, and many are hurt as a result. But God's wisdom cries out to the simple, to the foolish, the learned, and the laborer. Wisdom is not a hidden thing. It's not something that can be found in a special room, right? Not a special room like nursing mother's room that we have here in the church, right? There's no God's wisdom closet. It's open for everyone. God wants all to have true understanding is what this passage is saying. The city gates is where all came and went, right? And it's where the city leaders would gather. So not just, again, everyone. The upper tier and the bottom of the barrel, right? And the top of the hill, that allows her voice to be an earshot of the most people possible. The entrance of the doors, right? Decisions that we ought to make in our life. Prudence, discipline through reason. Beside the way where the paths meet, the crossroads, those intersections. Verse 6, "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, noble things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instructions and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. She speaks to us noble, princely things, that being truth, right? She hates wickedness. Her words are simple to understand, simple to understand. As believers, we know truth when we hear it because we have found understanding. This is where you'd turn to 1 Corinthians, if you like, chapter 2, starting in verse 7. I'll start reading. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed to them, to us, through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. That's what this is saying. We're able to discern God's word and to take it into our hearts and to make it part of our being. It becomes part of us, guys. And I'm preaching the choir, but we also have a conscience and an instinct that wisdom speaks to us through, right? She also speaks to us through God's creation. Watching animal behavior is a great way to learn things. Watching the tides go in and out, right? Much is learned that way. God's wisdom is on full display. Sadly, many don't want to listen. Today, there seems to be a war with the simplest of wisdom, like biological gender and when life begins, right? We're praying about that tonight. The question, right, if a person is pronounced dead when their heart stops, why isn't a child in the womb considered alive when the heart is beating? That's not a complicated train of thought. It's pretty simple. But the only way someone can be confused by these simple things is willfully choosing not to listen, right? And what a mess that creates. What a mess that creates. What a blessing for us, though, to have God's word and his Spirit inside of us to understand it, to not live in that kind of confusion that twists the simplest of things. We get to live a life of discernment and with the ability to make good and right choices that keep us and help us to live that life of joy that comes with it. And what can be better than that? Continuing on, verse 12 says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries." Let's look at the author of this scripture. Let's look at an account of Solomon again. If you want to turn to 1 Kings 3 here. 1 Kings 3 is one of my favorites in the Old Testament. Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. And then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house. And then the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. And meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in his statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, "What shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him. You have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for a long life for yourself, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and he stand before the Ark of the Covenant, and he offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Now, two women were harlots, came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, "Oh, my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house. And I gave birth while she was in the house. And then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born." Then the other woman said, "No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." And the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." And thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' And then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, 'Divide the living child into two, and give half to one and half to the other.' And then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, 'Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him.' But the other said, 'Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him.' So the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is the mother.' And all Israel heard of this judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." Give me chills, man. Solomon loved God. This first point that I see here, Solomon loved God, right? And he was humble. Big deal. loved the Lord, and he was humble before the Lord. His desire was to honor God, right? To honor God in the task set before him. That was his motivation. And he was also thankful, and with a humble and thankful heart, he asked for wisdom. God, being so awesome, not only gave him that wisdom, but also the success and the riches came as well. The wisdom that God gave Solomon and also offers to us was obvious and undeniable to the people that were around him. The only thing that's sad to me about reading that passage is that Solomon seems to be the best that will ever do it. Oh, God, I wish that could have been me. But that's pretty cool, right? That's what our God wants to do. He wants to blow our minds. When we work hard and we seek God's direction, as Mark's trying to do, and we traverse the way of righteousness in midst of the paths of justice, right? That's what we're doing. Leaning not in our own understandings, acknowledging God in our daily decisions, that's where the treasure is going to be found. That's where God's will for our life is going to be found. We have to respect God, right? Correct? Yes? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it begins. And the fruit or the product of that wisdom may and can be different for everyone. For some people, it's going to be an abundance of money, and they'll use that as God directs, right? And for others, it'll be family and the blessings that come from that. And maybe it's a hobby that turns into a career, right? Every day is fun. It's not a job. I don't know. That sounds pretty good. But God's blessing in our lives, though it can take on different forms for everybody, when we're living in God's will, there's going to be another fruit in our life, right? Our life is going to affect other people in our path. Hopefully, some will be encouraged to know Jesus as we did, right? God's storing up eternal treasure on our behalf. And the best of all is that we get to have eternity together with Jesus and hopefully some of those people that were in our path. I believe that's the goal of wisdom. The Lord possessed, moving on to verse 22, me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters could not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. God called his creation good. His wisdom is clearly displayed in his creation, right? You can take my watch that I have on tonight. It's an automatic movement watch. It's pretty cool. I like it. Somewhat complex in its function and stylish and so on. But it didn't happen randomly, right? We know that. And yet we know that, and we get confused. A blade of grass is way more complex than this watch is, right? And I won't go any further. I'll let Coach Paul do that at a later date. But you guys get the idea, right? God's wisdom was clearly at work and on display in his creation. Now, I can't help but read this block of scripture and think of Jesus, right? How can you not? We're talking about creation. And we know that all scripture points us to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And in this case, there's some glaring verses regarding Jesus that I think parallel or resemble this passage. And I want to read a couple to you. John 1. Again, I'm letting God's word talk tonight, gentlemen. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All these things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In Ephesians 1, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the age, but also in which is to come, right? Seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Keeping the context here, that we're talking about wisdom as an attribute of God, that's the idea. We're not introducing again some fourth divine entity. But we can make the connection that this points us directly towards Christ, who embodied this attribute as well as all the other attributes of the Father, right? John 14 says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him, right? If we have seen the Son, we've seen the Father. And so it makes perfect sense that with that in mind, what is written here about wisdom and its place in creation embodied in God's begotten Son, Jesus, that makes perfect sense. Interesting observation about this block of passage about God's wisdom in his word is the reference Solomon makes here to a circle. I don't know of any other place in scripture that refers to earth this way. And certainly we know this was written long before satellite and man's travel into space, right? So I think that's pretty cool. Verse 32, now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways, hear instruction, and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. We have a serious enemy, brothers. He's serious. And we need God's wisdom to discern rightly the decisions and paths in our lives, like Brother Mark was talking to me about earlier tonight, trying to figure those things out, right? We need God's wisdom. And Rob as well, telling me about some of his decisions. And maybe all of us are dealing with that. I'm sure we've all got something going on, right? Big, little, it's important that we seek the Lord. Sometimes that means waiting, right? We're talking about that as well. I can think of a couple times where I had a big purchase, and I shared the story with Rob as it related to what we're talking about. But I had a big purchase, and I was considering it, and I was praying about it, and I asked God to give me peace. I said, God, give me peace about it. You know, in the morning I was going to go finalize it, and I did not sleep, right? That happened a couple times to me. I didn't sleep at all. And so I pulled out of those deals, right? And I slept like a baby the following evening, right? So God can speak to us that way, but that's not the only way. It's one way he speaks to me. It's always good to sleep on things. I think that's a good little piece, a little nugget for everybody. But we need to be praying for God's direction, right? Waiting on him for clear direction and seeking the full counsel of God to make sure we're aligned with his will for what he wants for us, right? Because as I said, we have a serious enemy. I was shocked today. I learned this. I don't know if you guys knew this one. But in many of the modern translations of the Bible, there's a specific verse that has been basically, it's not there, right? It's just blank. It skips. It goes from 20 to 22 in Matthew, chapter 17. Matthew 17, verse 21, it's skipped a lot. And that very verse, Jesus is telling us how to deal with the strongest of demons. And I find that just so mind-blowing that's not present in some of the translations that we have today. Not the one you guys are reading, but some of the others. And we have a serious enemy. We need the whole counsel of God. He's waging a war on the family. He's waging a war on our children. And even common sense, right? Up is down, and good is evil, and evil is good. And we know what that means, right? Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. We're watching and we're waiting, right, guys? We're watching and we're waiting. But we're not stagnant. We're doing at the same time. We're living for Jesus. One last thing, and we'll pray it out, but God does care about us wearing those shoes and wearing the helmet. But he also wants us to see us do those wheelies too, right? And pull those arrows off, right? He cares about that. He wants us to have that life more abundantly, right? It's life more abundantly. That's the life he wants for us, right? And we're going to find that when we spend time with Jesus. We're going to find that when we do this, when we get together and we treat it seriously. It needs to be taken seriously. I see you guys do that. You guys encourage me every week. And I appreciate it because you know, a brother needs a brother, right? All right, let's pray. Father, thanks again for another great study. Thank you for offering wisdom to all that would seek it, God, for crying it out from the high places, from the balcony and the hilltop, and for meeting us in the intersection, God, right? In the crossroads. You're there. You're there to tell us which way to go. We just have to seek you. Help us to do that, God. Help us to seek you in your word, to spend time with you in prayer, to ask a brother what he thinks, right? And to glean maybe something that you shared with them, perhaps, Lord. But to always check it against your scripture and against your word and make sure we're aligned with that, because we know that's from you. Thanks for these guys. Thanks for my mom. Bless her 70th year, God, and just I'm gonna go spend some time with her now. But I just thank you for her, and I want to lift up Mark to you, God, who's trying to figure this out right now. The logistics between the new career, the schooling, and finances, and so on. God, I just pray that you would open those doors and shut those doors, God. Right, you're in the doorways, right? So open them up, God, or shut them. Make it clear for him. And for Brother Rob, thanks for sorting out some things that have been a long time in the works. They're close to being sorted, but still a little more to go there. And I just pray that you just continue to see those things through. And in this decision he's making, God bless him in that. Make him feel real good about it. And again, open that door or shut that door. Thanks for my brothers, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.